and a pleasant good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, and I'm your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week and a different course of study, and you'll want to avail yourselves to all of these studies, and even when you're not available at airtime, the programs are replayed in the evenings at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and they're posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website also within a day or two. Now, on Thursdays, we are currently in the middle of a study of the book of Daniel. And today, we are going to consider chapter 5, and the writing is on the wall. So let's get right into our study for today. Let's read through this chapter first and get our minds set on what we can take from this chapter. Daniel chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this warrant writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, Chaldeans and soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you, that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom, and majesty, glory, and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he led up, and whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of the heavens. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, and your wives, and your concubines, have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So far in our study of the book of Daniel, we have seen the faith of a young Daniel who made the commitment not to defile himself in chapter 1. We have seen the first dream of Nebuchadnezzar that was interpreted by Daniel in chapter 2, prophesying of the rise and fall of four world empires and foretelling the establishment of the kingdom of Christ. In chapter 3, we witness the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the face of fire. In chapter 4, we witness the second dream of Nebuchadnezzar and its fulfillment confirming that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. We now come to Daniel chapter 5, where we find an incident familiar to many. The event is often called the handwriting on the wall. Now, as with any Old Testament account, it was written for our admonition. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." As we begin now with our text, we begin by reading of the booze and the idolatry in a king's court. Belshazzar is now the king. The time is now about 539 BC. Nebuchadnezzar had been dead for a couple of decades now. He would be succeeded by his son, evil Merodach. No. 2 Kings chapter 25 and verse 27. "Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of that month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, released Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. After 2 years, he was assassinated by his brother Nergal-Assar, rather his brother-in-law, and he in turn would die 4 years later in 556 B.C. He would leave the throne to his infant son Labashi Marduk. Labashi Marduk was soon deposed by a priestly revolution. Nabonidus, a former priest under Nebuchadnezzar, was made king in 556 B.C. Now he was more interested in scholarly and religious pursuits. So he appointed his son Belshazzar as ruler of Babylon in his place. Belshazzar therefore became a co-regent in 550 BC. He was second in command. And this explains why he offered Daniel the third position in the kingdom. Again, go back to verse 16. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple, and have a chain of gold around your neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now jump down to verse 29. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple, and put a chain of gold around his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now notice in our text that Nebuchadnezzar is called his. It was a common practice of that day and age to call one's ancestor's father. Notice verse 2. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Verse 11. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Verse 13. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah?" Now, Nabonidus that we mentioned earlier, Belshazzar's father, may have been Nebuchadnezzar's son-in-law, according to much speculation. And again, it was common to refer to one's ancestor as father. Or it could be that the term father was just simply used figuratively. Now, as chapter 5 begins, Belshazzar throws a big feast. Let's go back now to verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. Nebuchadnezzar had taken gold and silver vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, and verse 10, it says, "At the turn of the year, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned him and took him to Babylon with the costly articles from the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Now Belshazzar adds insult to injury by using these vessels in the feast. Notice they praise the gods of gold and silver. The king and his guest foolishly praise the creation rather than the creator. Why would man ever stoop so low? To worship the gods of silver and gold and become guilty of idolatry. But make no mistake, friends, we do the same thing if we succumb to the sin of covetousness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." When we make mammon or material riches our God, we need to understand Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." When we make created things the prime focus of our time and interest, we can learn from the remainder of this chapter. As we continue in Daniel chapter 5 now, let's notice how quickly things begin to change as we read of, we see the panic and humiliation in a king's court. Now let's consider the handwriting on the wall. We see the fingers of a man's hand appear. Let's pick up with verse 5. "In the same hour the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, 'Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom.' Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished." They write on the plaster of the wall in the king's palace. Belshazzar sees the part of the hand that wrote. And notice the Shaken King. In the case of King Belshazzar, one moment his heart is puffed up with pride, and the next moment his knees are knocking together in fear. This is an excellent illustration for us of the fact that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, as we read in Proverbs chapter 16 in verse 18. All that he saw was a man's hand. What if he had seen the face of God? If just a tiny manifestation of God's power had that great an effect, then what would be the effect of coming face to face with God? What about the coming judgment? Will we be able to stand? We are not going to stand if we are wicked. The first psalm in verse 5 says, "Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." But we can if we have pure hearts and holy hands. The 24th Psalm, verses 3 through 5, says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Consider the helplessness of Belshazzar's advisors. Once again, a king makes an appeal first to those who are unable to help him, as we see in verses 7 through 9. He did just as Nebuchadnezzar had previously done in chapters 2 and 4. But don't people often do the exact same things today in a time of crisis? They look to all the wrong places for their help. They look to their own strength or wisdom or the assistance of other people when they need to trust in God first, as we learn from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, as we continue with our account, we read now of the arrival of God's man, Daniel. Beginning in verse 10, we see the advice of the queen. The queen was likely the queen mother, for the wives were already present. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." Note that the queen was not present at the banquet. Could the one who knew where to turn in time of trouble have also known the banquet was no place for her to be? Something to think about. Those who like to party and to live it up are usually those who are lost in despair when trouble strikes. And next we see Daniel before the offender, beginning in verse 13. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you, that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Do you notice that twice the king says, "I have heard of you"? It would seem as if the king knew him only by reputation. He apparently had not made much effort to get acquainted with Daniel prior to this event. But you know, people in the world are not much different. Worldly people make very little effort to get to know the people of God. But in times of sickness or trial, times of death, where do they turn? To the church, of course. But you see, the time to get to know God's people is before that, not afterwards. And so next now comes the indictment. Notice beginning in verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. Now we notice that Daniel rejected the king's reward. The great character of Daniel is really shining forth, as we noticed in verse 17, when Daniel answered and said, "Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another." You know, he's not like many of the modern day so-called evangelists who teach only if they're given gifts or love offerings. But Daniel willingly tells the truth, and he does it for free. So Daniel proceeds to recount a history lesson for Belshazzar. He retells the lesson from Nebuchadnezzar's second dream in verses 18 through 21. And oh, how much better we would all be off to learn the lessons of history. The old adage is as true today as ever, that those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. And this is especially true with inspired history, even more so than secular history, from the point of view of man. We see Daniel rebuke the king. He points out to him in verses 22 to 24 that Belshazzar did not learn from his father's experience. Belshazzar exalted himself when he should have been giving glory to God. And as a result, the handwriting on the wall was sent. When will people ever learn from history? Shouldn't man have learned from the pride of Pharaoh in the book of Exodus? But yet they didn't. Should a lesson not have been learned from the murmuring of the Israelites in the wilderness? Yet they did not. Yet indeed, the inspired history was written for our learning. Romans chapter 15 in verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And Belshazzar failed to benefit from his knowledge of God's dealing with mankind, and so upon him was to come." We see the sentence and the execution for Belshazzar. Verse 25 says, "And this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin." This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, And they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So we saw the handwriting on the wall explained, the meaning of the words described in verses 25 through 28. It told us that God had numbered his kingdom and finished it, that Belshazzar had been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and his kingdom had been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. The message of Daniel's interpretation is that Belshazzar's kingdom had been numbered for destruction. The king himself is weighed and found wanting. The kingdom was to be taken away and given to the Medes and the Persians. We see, in essence, a third of nothing. Now Belshazzar is true to his promise, as we read in verse 29, toward Daniel. But as we will soon see, what he gave Daniel was actually a third of nothing. For in the case of Belshazzar, this night his soul would be required of him. How quickly the proud and the boastful can fall, despite all the power and wealth in the world, as we read in verses 30 and 31. Herodotus indicates that Babylon fell as a consequence of the diverting of the waters of the Euphrates, allowing the enemy to enter under the city walls. Other sources explain it as the result of treason and subterfuge from within, resulting in the opening of the gates to the conquering armies. This is very reminiscent of Jesus' story of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21, where he was boasting one day and he was dead the next. Now, as we bring everything together here today, the announcement of doom in this chapter was provoked in part because the king, Belshazzar, misused and abused some pieces of metal. These pieces of metal were God's pieces of metal. For such disregard of what belonged to God, a kingdom would be buried. And we need to remember, those pieces of metal came from the temple, and they were sacred. We are the temple of God today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." If God did not view lightly the misuse of his vessels, then do you think he will be casual about the impenitent abuse of his church today? Just as he destroyed the one who defiled his temple of old, so he will destroy those who defile his temple, the church, today. Friends, let's not wait for the handwriting on the wall to tell us it is too late, to tell us that the judgment has been passed upon us and the sentence is final. Instead, let's heed the hand that wrote on the ground, being Jesus. Notice John chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. While there is still time for mercy and forgiveness, let's heed Jesus, follow him, and keep his commandments. Hope you've enjoyed our time together today. The Lord wills, we'll be together again next week. We'll look at Daniel chapter 6 next week. Again, be sure and stay tuned today for the programming all throughout the day on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember, this program will play again this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time with your host, Brother Chip Horton. You won't want to miss another great lesson from Brother Chip. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and may God bless you.